Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, good evening. This is International Black Summit Talk Show Network, coming to you live and in color. Hope you're doing great on this August 17th. And we've got a great show for you tonight. Let's get started with the Declaration of the International Black Summit. We declare ourselves, our community, and all communities whole and complete. There's nothing to do except be. We assert that we are responsible for generating a community of possibility and distinction. We listen for and grant being to the possibility and creation of unpredictable results. Our conversation of, about, and for those of African descent is one of power, self-generation, abundance, responsibility, unity, and integrity of the possibility of being. We stand for the expression of our spirituality, ending the murders of our men, women, and children, building economies, responsible for funding our community, maintaining wellness of being in our bodies, providing human services, establishing nurturing relationships, altering the conversation of who we are in the media, empowering our youth. We declare that our community manifests itself in the world as a contribution in the transformation of the universe. Atlanta, Georgia, October 7th, 1991. August 17th, 2014. North, south, east, west, above, below, and within. A moment of silence, please. Thank you. So, we're just here on a Sunday evening, and just really enjoying the day. It is hot in New York City. Actually, yeah, that's true. Yeah, it's pretty warm. We're experiencing our early fall. It's been kind of unseasonably cool, but today was a pretty decent day. So we're going to talk a little bit tonight about our beliefs, about the belief trip, about what it was like to be in belief. We're going to talk a little bit about the interviews that we had, the TV show interviews, which we had three of them. And I didn't participate, but there was a radio news interview as well. And so there were pretty much four events. So, what do I want to say about those events? I guess the thing that I want to say the most is they were challenging. They were not scripted. We did not know what people were going to say and do. We certainly invite people to, we're looking to get a copy of them so that we can actually make them available. I think that they're a good talking document. I certainly think that they are. Excuse me. And They're actually a good, they provide a good understanding of what is available in the summit, what the summit is, what the summit isn't. And I think there are probably actually some great training tools for facilitators to, on the dime, communicate what the work that we do is. So structured facilitators should probably have a copy of information and utilize it as a training tool. But more than that, I think that it was an opportunity to really express what the summit is and what it isn't, as I said earlier. Engagement was, Felice is interesting in that it has its own version of bumping up against black identity. And what do I mean by that? I mean by that is they have, and I know I'm pronouncing it wrong, Garifuna is the name of one of the set of people that were part of the conversation, Creoles, Aztecs, and then we have the Spanish folks from the neighboring countries, Guatemala, Honduras, that are situated around Belize. Actually, let me pull up a map and I can tell you exactly. Hey, Henrietta, how you doing?
Hey, I'm good. How are you?
Dear, glad to hear it, my dear. We were just having a little discussion around our experience of and you know what it was like from a facilitation standpoint and the interviews.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the interviews that took place and what were they like. So one of the things that I was just talking about was specifically about the situation with the population and being black. I tell you, that is not something that... That is only an American conversation. you know, it's just kind of interesting how they were bumping up against all of it when you look at the big picture of things, and when you look at, you know. So what I was saying, Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador, Nicaragua, are all stones throw away. And, of course, Mexico, Yucatan, Peninsula is all, you know, all surrounding Belize. And... So you've got a real interesting mix of folks who are part of the conversation. You can go all the way down to Costa Rica and Panama. You're not too far, actually, from Cuba and Haiti, and Dominican Republic, and really not that far from Florida. So, I mean, you've got a lot of cultures that were were mixing together, and so when you look at it and you look at the who are the folks that comprise Belize, you've got lots of certainly a melting pot of cultures and skin tones and maybe even some dialects that are different. What was your experience of it? What was your experience of it, Henrietta?
I've been looking at that all week. You know, it was such a personal kind of experience for me. You know, it was just eye opening in just so many ways. The things that the people in Belize are fighting for, like literally, when I say fighting, I mean boycotting and demonstrating and, you know, like the things that they're fighting for. It just amazed me. I was just amazed by it, you know, and happy, you know. Happy about it, but you know, it was just so emotional because that's the fact that they had to fight for the things that they were fighting for, you know, and standing in No Out There, it was really, really, you know, it was just really interesting that so much of what occurred in the summit and then what occurred after the summit, you know, the experiences and then the connection, you know, just the connection that we had with the people of Belize. I just found it phenomenal. You know, when I went to talk with the group of young ladies that I spoke with, it was it was just like I was talking to a group of women here, you know, in Chicago. It was like we were just sitting around, like we knew each other, you know, and that's the way the summit was. It was like the people who showed up, they showed up fully engaged in what we were, you know, what they were doing, what their visions were, like when they shared. I mean, they shared like they had done the summit every year, you know. So some things were just amazing to me, you know, and other things were, my God, been there, you know, like we've been there, we've done that, and not that it's complete, but we, you know, like certain things aren't over yet. You know, certain things that we may have relaxed a little bit about, they haven't. You know, they're still working through certain things, you know. But beautiful people, and I don't mean, I mean on the inside, you know, I'm not talking about on the outside, I'm just talking about beautiful, hard-working, strong work ethic, just about the business, you know, about the business of being. And that was just amazing to me, you know, just... you know, just to be with the people in the villages, you know, going into the villages that we went to, that was really something, you know. When you say village, it's not like you think, not like I think. It was nothing like I thought it was, you know. But just, it was one of those unforgettable trips. I've been talking about it all day because I hadn't seen a lot of people until today since I've been back. And everybody wanted to know, you know, like, how was it? So it's interesting, you know, just really, really interesting. I guess people, I tell people, you have to ask me direct questions and let me answer those questions, because to speak of it is really something.
Well, you know, one of the things I'm left with as we travel around the world, you know, and I compare it to Kenya or South Africa or Brazil, comes to mind. You know, we've got the same set of problems all around the world. We've got people of Black African descent struggling for economic viability, economic freedom, human rights, establishment of a recognized, being recognized inside of the systems of countries. And Belize is no different than that, no different than the U.S. In a lot of respects. You know, Central America is still the Americas. But the thing that I'm most maybe surprised by, I don't know if it's surprise is the right word, but I see as an opportunity is the strong commitment to their African history that the people who have actually identified themselves as Black in Belize are. I think that they're certainly in Belize City, the TV stations were oriented around that conversation of being Black. The whole Garveyitism is a reflection of their pride and heritage and attachment to being Black. And so there were very strong ties. And so I could see, as in other places, how we were strongly drawn into the conversation in Belize. Certainly, it was my first visit to Belize, and I completely get why Belize called for us to be there.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, yeah. So it's just interesting with their. And they're small enough of a country to affect a large amount of change, which also makes it interesting as well. Because, you know, Shakesha said it earlier, is that you have access to literally the heads of state because it's such a small country. And people are willing to listen and work with you and talk with you. And some of the folks that are there on the ground that are part of the Belize conversation are very steeped deeply in the infrastructure of Belize and can affect change. So it's very interesting. The possibilities and opportunities for growth and development that are available.
Yeah. I'm present. Belize has me present to who the summit is, who the summit conversation is. You know, like that's what I got present to, because in the distinction, no idea, in the distinction, you only meet yourself who we met in Belize, who showed up in Belize.
Well, I like what you said. We met ourselves. Because it really seemed like that.
Really, when we went to the university on Friday, oh my goodness, it was just like stepping back. You know, it was a back look when I was in college. It was that space, sitting and listening and, you know, like listening for where, okay, where do I fit here? What am I listening for? You know, it was such a great listening, you know, thing. There was so much listening available. You know, because the people have so much to share. They have so much to contribute. And I'm trying to get some of the people who were on virtual to come and share with us, you know, just to see what their experience was or is, because it's like we're clearly still in it, definitely still in it. And the question, oh my goodness, that question is so powerful, and everywhere I'm in this question, you know, in the space of silence, I discover some aspect of myself. Will I grant being to what I am built for? I'll say it again. In the space of silence, I discover some aspect of myself. I grant being and built for. And, you know, that's just like, to me it's just, you know, I've looked at this question so many ways in the last week. And there's always something. And doing, there's some kind of feedback.
Yeah, I hear it from time to time. I haven't heard it completely consistently, but yes.
Okay. I wrestled with that question one night. I just decided, okay, you're gonna work with that. You're gonna work with this until you know, it's like wrestling with it until it blesses you. You're going to get what this is about. And Glenn, what I got was the very thing that I think I'm not is what I am.
No, that can be eye-opening as well as confronting.
You know, and it was both. Absolutely, it was both. The very thing that I think I'm not is what I am. It's like that year. It's like 1 year in Jamaica. And one of the people stood up and said, "I am not a clearing. I'm not a clearing of confusion." And I wasn't, that was my first year, so I really didn't understand clearing. And I really didn't understand it as the weekend went by. There was all kind of, wherever confusion with the person was, you know, or where there appeared to be confusion. Let me say that. And I was like, okay, I really was clearing. This is clearing. And it just led to attachment, that thing that you fear, thing that you don't want to be, that thing that you think you're not. And really, that's what you know, but you keep trying to prove to yourself that that's not what you are. So your choices are based on you're not being something. Because if you embrace it, rather than that's what you are, you just embrace it for that moment. It comes forth, and you can be with it, or I could be with it. You know, and being with it just lifted my everything to another level. It's really interesting, and I'll get more into detail around it on another show when we'll be getting into it. But I'd like for the listeners to really to look at the question, you know, like really take a look at the question. And work with it, or allow it to work with you, and see what you get. Have you distinguished it, Glenn?
No, but it's left me not so much in a quandary, but it's left me looking at my life.
Mm-hmm.
It's had me looking at what is it that I'm really up for. You know, that whole what are you built for, Grant, being to what you're built for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, well, what am I doing? Am I doing things consistent with what I'm built for?
Okay.
You know, or am I unwilling and allowing myself to drift into something else other than what I'm built for? You know, one of the things that I'm looking at in this conversation specifically is around the money that I'm generating or that I'm not generating. And because that's also part of what I'm built for. And I know I'm enjoying immensely the work that I'm doing. And I need to have some economic stability around it. Such that I can sustain myself on a level that I'm comfortable with.
Right.
And so this question has me look at that and look at, well, you know, what are the things that I'm doing? And are those the things that I'm built for, really?
Mm-hmm.
So I can't say that I've distinguished it. What I can say is that I'm looking at what it means to me, what it means to my life, what it means to the body of work that I've been doing, and how does that relate to what I want to do for the rest of 2014,
mm-hmm.
you know, and beyond. You know, the belief has been, you know, you're right, it's kind of, you know, Emerson is a lot like me. You know, I see myself in him, and I believe vice versa.
Right.
And to see someone that connected and that committed to the conversation of economic development and economic fulfillment. and economic achievement. It's daunting, it's scary, and it's confronting. And so it has me look at all of the things that I say that I'm up to. You know, one of the issues that I'm having now that I've returned to Southeast Queens is that we haven't been getting a whole lot of economic support from the politicians. Now there's a new election coming up, there's going to be some changes possibly happening. And so, you know, it's kind of do or die. Do we need to shift the conversation? We were looking at bringing manufacturing, but there's a program called ED5 is bringing businesses from overseas here. So maybe that's something that we're looking to do. To connect with. So, you know, so just some interesting observations that are key to what's next for myself. Mm-hmm. And what do I need to do to take care of myself going forward. So it's all of that.
Yeah.
Part of it.
Yeah. This is the National Black Summit Talk Show Network, and you are on with Glenn and Henrietta, and we're having a conversation about our experience of Belize. The 2014 annual summit event was held in Belize 2 weeks ago, the beginning of this month. And we stayed for an extra week, went in early, actually, and really got be part of the culture. And we'd love for you to call in and ask us questions. Our number is 646-716-9827. 646-716-9827. And if you were a part of that, and call in and share, you know, press the number one button and we'll know that you want to speak. 2015 annual summit event is in Atlanta, Georgia. We are going forward to the place where the declaration was generated in Atlanta, Georgia. The 25th annual summit event will be held in Atlanta, begins July 30th. So mark your calendars now, you know, tickets now. We will keep you, as soon as we have more information, we will let you know. But you can certainly get your plane tickets or your bus tickets or whatever you want to do, however you want to get there. This is we want to invite as many people as we can to join us in the 25th conversation of the International Black Summit, 25th annual summit event conversation, because we have conversations every week, sometimes 10, 12 times a week on different calls. We also invite people in the summit body to join different teams that we have. We have an events team. We have a finance team. We have a facilitator body team. We have a cultural team. We have a registration team. We have an enrollment team. We have a virtual team. We have a music team. We have a prerequisite and summit share the virtual team. We have a youth facilitator team, a youth adult facilitator team as well. And if it's a team, if you are in the summit body and have done the summit and you see a team that you would like to generate you know you are going to generate whatever it is that you see. So we ask that you join us. We have a leadership council call tomorrow, and that call is 4 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. So, you know, get in touch with your team members and be represented, have your team represented on that call. The leadership body is made up of the sum total of people who have attended the annual summit. Some like to do with and clear yourself, and so and then you create it, you generate it through your vision, what you see. I would just like to say thank you to all of the teams that showed up and just piled up in belief. Every team powerfully showed up. And the people of the they showed up. They felt powerfully. It was like every day a lesson in history, a lesson in culture, you know, a lesson in work, you know, that's what we're about, work. And it was just these lessons after lessons when people would go to the mic and they would share from their experience. It was just powerful, powerful. And it will be in Atlanta. So we, you know, are asking you now to plan the 25th Annual Summit event in Atlanta, Georgia, July 30th, 2015, throughout that weekend. We also invite you to take the prerequisite. If you haven't been to the summit in a while, join us on Thursday. Do the prerequisite course. It is a wonderful course that you will thoroughly enjoy, and it will prepare you for the through the distinctions. You go through listening, authentic listening exercise. You know, you do everything that prepares you to enter the room. And we know what the room is. The room is where the conversation resides. If you are a youth age 8 to 17, your prerequisite will be on Friday. Young adult and adults, Thursday. And then the room begins on Friday. And we are asking on Wednesday so we can start, you know, the preparation Thursday morning early and join this transformative conversation. Be with us in this conversation. You know, in the space of silence, I discover some aspect of myself to what I am built for. The question that we will be thinking throughout the next 12 months. And when I look at that question, Gwen, I've broken it down. First it was 3 ways, now it's 4 ways. But the way I see it is in the space of silence. So when it's that first statement is letting us know that there is a space of silence that I have to find. In that space of silence, discover some aspect of myself. It can be a different aspect every time I find my way to silence. But I will discover some aspect of myself. Then it asks the question, will I grant being to what I am built for? You know, will I grant being? Will I bring what I, that aspect of myself? Will I bring it from the invisible to the visible? Will I have that thing manifest in my life so much so that my vision for my life comes forth with ease? Will I say, you know, will I? Will I grant being to what I am built for? You know, and I must discover what I'm built for. I must discover that. Some of us may already know. And knowing and granting it being, that's two different things. I can know a whole lot, but will I give it authority to be in my life? You know, and so that question, oh my God, that is an inquiry question. It's a declaration. It's a, you know, it sends you there. And so, I'm looking forward to distinguishing it. Terry just jumped in my consciousness. And so I think one of the things, if we can pull in the original people, try to get them on so they can be with this question and share some of the stories from the last 25 events, I think that will be a good momentum. We're having a countdown to the annual summit event already. Glenn, back to you.
Yes, we've got a guest in the chat room. If you'd like to participate, please give us a call. We've got some open telephone lines, 646-716-9827. That's guest 4117. So if you'd like to share or you have some questions, please give us a call. Feel free to call in and press 1, and we'll recognize you and open up your mic. Yeah, I can see where having some of the facilitators on board would be very inviting and very challenging, since we've come, you know, I was going to say full circle, but I don't know that we've come full circle, because some of the conversations that we had in the beginning back in 91 were some of the conversations that we're having in Belize. What is it to be black? What does it mean? What's the connotations? Some of the things that we bumped up against in the first and second summit is, you know, who are we as people of black African descent? You know, what does that look like? What does that feel like? What are our interpretations of that conversation, and how are we relating that to our lives? All of those things begin to be part of the, I'm going to say, ongoing conversation of who we are when we discover who we are in the world. Mm-hmm. And so not like it's done, not like it's complete. I think it's evolving. One of the conversations that I thought was very interesting that I'm still a little triggered by, and triggers one of our distinctions when you're automatically go in a particular place and you're reacting to rather than responding to. The conversation came that the people, the blacks in the U.S. were super blacks, and super blacks being now in the context that it was given, or at least what I heard in the context, was blacks with more privilege and more accessibility and more opportunity to affect change positively around the world. And it's a conversation that I've been in, not necessarily super blacks, but the one of opportunity and possibilities and availability of resources that other countries and other citizens don't have access to in the same way. So I am definitely present to that. And where the current technology, we're able to communicate and be together very powerfully more often than not as we were in the past. Said another way, the technology has given us access to each other in a way that we can transcend some of those non-level playing fields and really begin to administer and share information, thoughts, and opportunities with folks of Black African descent of other countries. So that's what I see about that. Back to you.
That's something. You know, it was like when I heard it was like a compliment, and then it was like a how we perceive and how we're respected or how we're disrespected, you know. It was a lot, you know, it was a trigger. And then, take a look at it, you know. Really listen to what's being said here or hear it. Hear it the way it's like coming across, you know.
Their responsibilities with all these opportunities. So it's not just to have the opportunities and the resources and all of the other things, but it's now an opportunity to leverage it. And the people that don't have access to it are calling for it to be leveraged, you know, are asking and calling for it to be leveraged so that they can take advantage of it. It's a call to action. It's an acknowledgement as well as a call to action and a call to responsibility as well. So it really is all of that that is being asked of us in that conversation called, quote-unquote, Super Black. So that was one of the things that came out prior to the International Summit annual event, and as I understand it, because I was in a different room, it also came up in the adult space of the International Black Summit.
Mm-hmm.
It's something for us to continuously share and to inquire into, you know, how do we affect that change, you know, or do we just sit on it and not do anything with it? Because that's a choice too.
Right. Now, did it come up in the youth space?
No. Not directly. But it came up indirectly because one of the things that showed up was that there were youth that were there that didn't have the means to get themselves to the event. And so they needed support. And some of the support was from the Belizean, let me get real specific, Eva, who was one of the supporters in bringing a lot of the youth. And then once they got there, the summer family chipped in and bought their lunches because they didn't have any means to buy a lunch. So, so again, when you look at opportunity, and not so much privilege, but opportunity and resources, it showed up through those activities, but it wasn't something that was said directly. But I saw it show up through those activities. So that's what I saw, you know, as the possibility and opportunity of the conversation, that who are the people of Black African descent in the U.S. of A. and their impact around the world. Back to you, Henrietta.
Thanks, Glenn. I was remembering something else Sunday morning. I was thinking about now and how the lady who brought George on Sunday morning, well, it was very difficult for her. She had to be a stand for those children, for their parents to let them. Number one, because it was Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And they were in church on Sunday. And so for the children not to be in church, that was major. And this is another thing I'm talking about PR as an organization, acknowledgement of who we are. And the lady convinced all of those parents to let the children come and get part of this. And the only what she had to promise the parents was that they would do their prayers because it was Sunday. And so before we started the worship, Sunday worship, she called all of the children together and said, let's pray. And so we joined in. We were preparing, but we joined in to their prayers, you know, and we were gathered and had this large circle. And people who wanted to pray, they said prayers, and the children included. You know, they went around, we just passed the microphone around, and that's how we started Sunday in prayer. And it was because of the one lady who had promised the parents that the children would acknowledge that this was Sunday and that they would do this. And so it was just a wonderful, that's another part that's unforgettable, was that Sunday, that space we were in Sunday morning, where we all worshiped together, and people came and volunteered their contribution on whatever level it was, you know. And like I've said many times, you've heard me say, we had, in 2007, we identified 27 different worship ways in which we worship, 27 different. And
you're breaking up a little bit.
Okay. A large community in belief, as well as a large Christian community in belief. And everybody was able to, and other cultures as well. You know, other beliefs, and everyone was able to worship together. That's what I loved about it, you know, sing and dance and pray and share and just all of it, just everything. So we will continue to distinguish beliefs the annual summit event 2014 as time goes on. And again, we will let you know about Atlanta, but you should be in Atlanta on the 29th of July so you can begin the prerequisite on the 30th, even if you've done the prerequisite before. July 30th, 2015 is the annual summit event, the 25th annual summit event. We invite you to join us. You know, go to blacksummit.org and register. Let's register early so we can prepare properly for your arrival and just all of that. Glenn, next week, I think, because I don't want to start the conversation now, we only have a couple of minutes left, but, well, we could close with this, is what is the one thing that you took away from belief, that is your experience? What's the one thing that you think about every day since you've been back?
I would have to say that I'm not a volunteer of the International Black Summit, but that the International Black Summit is something that I invest in.
Oh, yeah.
And what I mean by that is that I am not helping it, I am a partner in its success.
Wow.
You know, I am investing my time, my energy, my money at times, intellectual property,
mm-hmm.
and I'm generating that from a standpoint of in partnership. So the shift from volunteerism to investor in this conversation. You know, I've got 25 years in.
Right.
So I'm certainly not a helper per se, but I'm really engaged in the conversation of investing in the future of this conversation because I'm committed to it. Not dying when I do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
what about you?
I would say oneness. I'm present to oneness with the people of belief. You know, oneness with the conversation. Sameness, you know, that mirror that we talk about, the no out there. I mean, like, the distinctions to me were just in your face, in my face. Yeah, the oneness, sameness, family, community.
Yes. Well, on that note, I will say that, you know, thank you for a wonderful discussion tonight. Folks in the chat room certainly look forward to seeing you next week. On the call as we continue the conversation about debrief around Belief City International Black Summit 24th Annual Event. And we look forward to future engagements around the conversation of how do we progress as people of Black African descent here in the U.S. and around the world. So that's the opportunity, that is the possibility, And that is a fulfillment of the vision and the declaration of the International Black Summit. So with that, bid you adieu, good night, and God bless. And as one of my favorite DJs who's no longer with us, Frankie Crackle, would always say, may you all live to 100 and me, 100 minus a day, so that I would never know that good people like you have passed away. Peace and blessings. Good night. God bless.